I am going to tell you a story. Now, this was a long time ago. Two brothers were bicycle manufacturers. And these two bicycle manufacturers had a dream. They wanted to sell the best bicycles. But all these naysayers were saying, "You can't make any money by selling bicycles. You can't make any money by selling bike parts and things of that nature." Well, they realized one day that the naysayers were right. "We can't make any good bicycles," they say. And then one of the brothers had another dream. He said, "Maybe we can fly." That's what he said. "Maybe we can fly. Maybe we can fly," he says. Well, what happens? Well, these naysayers say again, "Hey, if God wanted us to fly, he would have given us wings," says these naysayers. "Come on, what's wrong with you?" Yeah, but guess what? One day, these little brothers went out and they built themselves a contraption. And this contraption flew. It flew. Bicycle builders able to build the first aircraft. These brothers were real people. You may have heard of them. They're called the Wright brothers. Now, why does this tie into today's topic? Because today's topic is the divinity of Jesus Christ. There's no way Jesus was truly God. There's no way that any of this that you read out of this Bible is true. There's no proof. But there is. There is. And I'm not going to go outside of the Bible today to prove Jesus' divinity. I'd rather look within the Bible. But I'd like to give you some context as well. So this is something interesting. Now, this is a hotly debated topic among Christian scholars and theologians, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of scholars believe that he was born in 0 BC. Others believe he was born in about 6 BC. Others believe he was born in 5 BC. I was doing some research, and I compiled a little timeline here. And in this timeline and this research, I have found some very interesting scenarios. And one of the interesting scenarios actually state that Jesus was born in 5 BC in the Hebrew month of Nisan. Again, that is not definitive. But I pointed this out specifically because there's debate, just as there was debate among those who believed in the Wright brothers, and how there was people dead set against the Wright brothers ever designing the first aircraft. Now, here's what's interesting. You know, you're going to have naysayers against Jesus. You're going to have naysayers against the Wright brothers. You're going to have naysayers against the moon landings. You know, and that's something you're going to have to reckon, you know, and figure out yourself. What do you believe, dear friend? What do you believe? I believe what the Bible says. Now let's go to 5 BC in the Hebrew month of Nisan. And the Holy Spirit is present. Now the Holy Spirit is another controversial topic. I believe personally that the Holy Spirit is another person of God, another manifestation of God. And I also believe that if you look in Matthew chapter 1, that you will find a very good definition of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, who I believe is also fully God and fully man, and the Father. Mary was engaged to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? Here's this girl who never knew a man. Scholars believe she was around the age of 12 to 15 years old. Think about that. 12 to 15 years old. You know what would happen if someone in the United States was 12 to 15 years old, did not have sexual relations with a man, and all of a sudden she became pregnant? How could you answer that? Modern science would not know how to answer that. But this is what the Bible's saying. This is why it's so hard for people to believe. Because Joseph, her husband, to be, was a righteous man. And because he did not want to disgrace her, he intended to divorce her privately. When he had contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, who is your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now, folks, we know that God is the only one who has the power to create. We know that God is the only one who has the power to give life and take away life. But look at what we're seeing right here. It says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." This right here explains perfectly that the Holy Spirit is God. "She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Folks, only God has power to save people from their sins. This is something the Jews did not understand. This is why they stoned Jesus or crucified Jesus. This is why they wanted to stone him. Because if you stop and think about it, Jesus, in his own birth, right here, the angel is declaring Jesus is God. Jesus is told that he's God from birth, folks. And look, it says right here, "She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." Again, I submit to you that the only person who has power to forgive people from their sins is God himself, which instantly means that Jesus is God. And again, the Bible's clear that the Holy Spirit is the reason that Jesus was placed in the womb of Mary. Again, the only people that have the ability of creating is God. So think about this. This God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. But we still have detractors, don't we? What a shame. You know, the Wright brothers ended up getting their plane off the ground. They ended up flying something like 100 miles after a while. Amazing. Who would have thought that two bicycle builders would have done something like that? Who would have thought that a carpenter and a girl who never knew a man or never had sexual relations with a man would birth the Son of God? Two things that seemed completely impossible. There are people today who I am sure are debating amongst themselves, saying there is no way the Wright brothers actually did that. They are probably people out there who say it's a conspiracy theory. Let's go back to what the Word of God says, though. Back to the Holy Spirit. And back to the divinity of Jesus Christ. Let's not get off topic into conspiracy theories and theorizing about the Wright brothers and the Neil Armstrong moon landing. Let's just go back to the Bible, picking it up here on verse 22. "This all happened so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets would be fulfilled. Look, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord told him. He took his wife, but did not have marital relations with her until she gave birth to a son and named him Jesus." Folks, listen to that. Again, I've just shown you how this all plays out from Scripture. Just how the Wright brothers were told that they could not get their flight off the ground. I'm sure there were people who told Joseph that he was nothing more than a liar and that there's no way that he's going to birth the Son of God. But he had faith. Mary had faith. The Wright brothers had faith that they could get their flying machine off the ground. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 6. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. John 14. Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory. This is talking about Jesus, of grace and truth, who came from the Father. Now think on this, folks. The Word became flesh. What is the Word? The Word is God, right? I mean, that's amazing. Right there, it's saying Jesus, or God, became flesh. Folks, you can't get any more loving than that. Here's God, who had no reason to come down from heaven. No reason. But he took it upon himself so that we could be saved from hell. You cannot get any more loving than that. Jesus, in my opinion, came to earth to die. I'll say it again. In my opinion, Jesus came to earth to die, to bear our iniquities or our sins on the cross. I really believe that. The reason Jesus came, or let's put it this way, the reason God came down to earth, let's make it even more personal. The reason God came down to earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, was because he loved us and he came to die in our place so that we do not have to suffer hell. Let's move on now to 26 AD. And we see here the fact that Jesus was completely man and also completely God, and he goes to John for baptism. Pardon it to be so, he says. But why does he do this? He's God. He doesn't have to do this. But in order to fulfill the Jewish requirement that he could possibly be their Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, it needed to happen. Now in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth and Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my one dear son. Get a picture of this. Come on. You are my one dear son, the voice is saying. You can't get any more better than that. In you I take great delight. Who in the world said that? You are my one son? Well, who has a son? A father. This is the Father. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is descending on Jesus like a dove. And he hears a voice. This is my son. It's the Father. Can we not get any more proof than that, folks, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh? We can't get much more proof than that, folks. And again, why did all this take place? Because he suffered it to be so. He came to die for us so that we could be saved from hell. You cannot get any more loving than that, folks. You can't. Look at Luke chapter 3. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, the heavens opened. And here we go. The Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. Here's that voice again. You are my one dear son. In you I take great delight. Look at that. The Gospels are backing one another up. Several times. Let's review. First, at the birth of Jesus Christ, regardless if you believe it was the Hebrew month of Nisan in 5 BC or some other time, maybe December 24th, December 25th, whatever you believe. Looking at the birth narrative from the scriptures themselves, there is clear indication that from the onset, Jesus Christ is God and that he is divine and that he came down to earth in a fleshly form to suffer and to die for us on the cross 30 to 33 years later to save us from hell. Greater love knows no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Wow. And the Father's telling Jesus, hey, son, I love you. I take great delight. And I'm going to prove it because here's my Holy Spirit. And look, I'm giving you the power. And you go and you give your students, your disciples, the power I give you. Go and die for them. Be resurrected 3 days later. Can you get any more loving than that? A love so great that he sacrificed himself willingly. Look at what the Gospel of John says. John chapter 1, 29. On the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him. And he said, look, the Lamb of God. Now, why does he call him the Lamb of God? Because lambs were sacrificed. See, this is a foreshadowing already that he will be sacrificed on the cross for us. And look at this. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the worlds. This is the one whom I said, after me comes a man who is greater than I am. Because he existed before me. Wow. Folks, let's put this into perspective. Earthly, Jesus and John were cousins. But he existed before John. Because John knew he was God. I did not recognize him. Look, the man he's crying out saying, this is Jesus, the Messiah. He's saying, originally, I did not recognize him. Look at this. Wow. I did not recognize him. But I came baptizing with water so that he could be revealed to Israel. Then John testified, I saw the Spirit descending like a dove from heaven, and it remained on him. I did not recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, the one on whom you've seen the Spirit descending and remaining, this one is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You cannot get any more clear than that. Folks, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That same flesh that was torn on Calvary. That same flesh that was tempted by Satan. That's God. And he loves us so much. Let's go back to verse 34. I have both seen and testified that this man is the chosen one of God. Why is he the chosen one of God? The Holy Spirit descended on him. An angel told his earthly dad. Wow. His name, Emmanuel, Jesus, Yeshua. Jehovah saves, God among us. Wow. You can't get any better than that. Look at Matthew chapter 3. Let's illustrate this point. The verses 16 and 17, we clearly see the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and God, the Holy Trinity, is all coming and focusing around Jesus. You can't get any more clear than this. Folks, it's just like the Wright brothers. You know, people were denying that this ever happened. Look at the landing on the moon. We still have skeptics today saying that never happened, that it was doctored. There's proof. Just because your friend denies the power of Jesus does not mean you have to be gullible enough to deny the power of Jesus. Will you make the decision to come to Jesus Christ today? Maybe that won't convince you. Maybe some more scripture reading will convince you. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. That means landing upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again, illustrating again the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father. The Holy Trinity, three in one. Jesus the Son, fully God, fully man. God the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the Mighty Counselor, all God. Three in one. They all have the same abilities. They all have the ability to create. Look at Genesis. It says, let us create humans. Let us go down and confuse the languages. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God the Father. If you go to, and again, this is all debate, when you start looking at these timelines, okay? But roughly 27 AD is when we start seeing the temptation of Jesus. Again, we don't know exclusively. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will lift you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, once again it is written, you are not to put your Lord, your God, to the test. Then the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their grandeur. And Satan said to him, I will give you all of these things if you throw yourself to the ground and worship me. And Jesus said to him, Go away, Satan, for it is written, you are to worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and angels came to minister to his needs. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. Then immediately the Spirit sent, or drove, or compelled Jesus to go into the desert or wilderness. Luke 4. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he endured for 40 days and 40 nights, and he endured temptations from the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were completed, he was famished. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus said to him, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in a flash all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, to you I will grant this whole realm and glory that goes along with it, for it has been relinquished to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. So then if you will worship me, all this will be yours. Jesus said to him, it is written, you are to worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil brought him to Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And with their hands, they will lift you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is said, you are not to put your Lord your God to the test. So when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time. If Jesus was tempted, we can be tempted. But there's a point to this. Even though Jesus was fully man and fully God, he was tempted just like any man. God humbled himself so much that he became like you or me, someone who is tempted. But the difference between Jesus and you and me, Jesus had a much better understanding of Scripture than we do. But it just goes to show any time Satan tempts us, we should use Scripture to defend ourselves against Satan. Now, this is something very controversial. But again, we're not looking at the controversial topics here. We're looking specifically at the divinity of Jesus Christ. So I want to show you here. And again, scholars are debating on this, but it looks like roughly in 29 AD, the transfiguration of Jesus occurs. Mark chapter 9, now after 6 days, Jesus took James, Peter, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Clearly, definitively, illustrating God's divinity. Clearly illustrating that Jesus did have the power of God, for he was God. And in 33 AD, God went to the cross for us. He suffered and died, conquered hell, And in 3 days, the Father rose him, raised him from the dead. You cannot get any more loving than that, folks. You know, just as the Wright brothers took their plane and flew off the ground, and now our country, our world is in flight because of the Wright brothers. Just as that occurred, the Bible, every word of the Bible, took place just the way the Word of God says. I'm not going to get into it here, but there are historical documents that prove that Jesus rose from the grave. There are historical documents that prove that the story of the soldiers being frightened took place. There are documents debunking the story that is still told to this day, where the Jews claim that the disciples came and sold Jesus' body overnight while the guards were sleeping. Wow. We serve a God who is love. Jesus is God, and Jesus Christ suffered and died for us. Will you come to Him? Will you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Or will you keep denying the power of God, just like people are still denying Neil Armstrong actually landed on the moon? The proof is in front of you. Don't deny. Come to Jesus. All you have to do is ask Him. Say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And all it means to be a sinner is that you have missed the mark of God." And I think we've all missed the mark of God, haven't we? "Dear Jesus, I am a sinner, and I'd like to repent." Repent means to turn away from your wrongdoings. And it doesn't just mean that you're sorry. It seriously means to turn away, to abhor them, to abhor them, to hate them, to hate the ways you have been, to change. Instead of serving the world, you want to serve Jesus. That is true repentance. So admit that you're a sinner. Repent from your wicked ways. And tell Jesus, "I know I'm a sinner, and I thank you for dying for me. And I believe that you died, and that in 3 days you came back to life. You died for me so that I would not have to suffer hellfire. And I know that you truly are the Son of God, and that you truly are the only way to eternal, lasting life. I'm putting my trust, my life, and my faith in you. Save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Wow. If you've done that, friend, I strongly encourage you to read the Bible. There are a lot of Bible apps. If you want to do it on a phone, the YouVersion Bible app, completely free. Blue Letter Bible, completely free. Bible Hub, completely free. Bible Gateway, completely free. Bible Is, completely free. There's even web pages you can use. Wow. But friends, I hope you have enjoyed this little podcast. And this is going up on Anchor, so I hope that I have some call-ins or voice messages. And I pray that this will benefit someone. May God bless you, and until next time, farewell.